First of all, L'Shana Tova, everybody. Happy New Year. Happy Jewish New Year. And welcome to the program. This is being put on the web in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. May everyone be sealed in the Book of Life for a delightful New Year. Yeah, so I'm back. I'm back after entirely too long. I get that. Honestly, it's not that I've got a huge natural audience for these. And of course, continuing to record them is the only way to develop it. So I recognize that. But also, what I realized I can do is I can use these recordings to kind of collect my thoughts and then churn out an article that states what I'm thinking about and musing about in perhaps a more organized way. And thus, I shouldn't worry that these come across as a rough draft. I think that a lot of those who do radio regularly or podcast regularly finally just get comfortable with the idea that, well, of course I'm going to make mistakes, and of course I'm going to be disorganized, and of course I'm going to have to get my thoughts together afterwards if I want to put them on paper. But that's the point, that people are hearing the rough draft. They're just hearing what you're thinking about. So that's my latest idea, so that I don't just spend, that I don't limit this to doing interviews or what have you. It was great to get an interview with Alan West. And I actually have an interview that I did months ago that I do want to share with you, but I still have to package that up and send it out and decide if I'm doing it. It ended up that our conversation, which was supposed to be, you know, under 30 minutes, took 60. So, but I think, once I decide whether I'm doing it in one installment or two, that you'll enjoy it. So yeah, that's eventually going to get posted. But meanwhile, you hear how I'm already doing rough draft. I mean, it's 2 minutes in and I haven't said anything yet. So here's the topic of today. Yeah, it is our country. Deal with it. The president, in his classically imprecise and perhaps politically incorrect habit, concluded his Rosh Hashanah greeting call by saying, "We love your country," to the Jews on this Rosh Hashanah greeting call. And of course, he was referring to Israel, and he referred to Israel as your country. And the left, which hopped all over, "Oh, it's dual loyalty," when the president said the Jews are not loyal enough to Israel. And maybe Jewish causes, I'm not remembering the precise quote at this point. But, you know, when the president said to a room full of donors that they're not loyal, the Jews are not being loyal enough to Israel, that may have been phenomenally politically incorrect and even rude. But it certainly wasn't anti-Semitic. Because the whole dual loyalty trope is the idea that Jews are loyal to the Jewish people to the exclusion of the countries in which they live. That they have a dual loyalty, meaning they are disloyal to their country of residence. This is not an accusation that you see being levied against Italian Americans, Irish Americans, Chinese Americans, what have you. But it is levied against Jews, and that's classic anti-Semitism. But to say that Jews are not loyal enough to Israel or Jewish causes or what have you, that's exactly the opposite of what an anti-Semite would say, and that's what I said at the time. And here, when the president said, referred to it, Israel as your country, I mean, that was even less. In fact, a lot less. It is our country. Like I said, deal with it. Get over it. I mean, come on. The same people who were accusing the president of wrongdoing for calling it your country, these are the people who, first of all, refused to get on the call to begin with. I mean, understand that the transcripts are fully available now. This is completely debunked. It is a lie to claim that the president called white nationalists or neo-Nazis fine people. It's exactly the opposite of what he said, and it's out there for anybody who actually cares. Biden announced in 2019 that this is why he's running for president. They have a president who they accuse of constantly lying. So instead, they want to elect a candidate who whose very reason for running for office is a slanderous lie. I mean, I'm just saying, you know. So these are not people who are actually thinking rationally and fairly about the issue. These are the people who refuse to go on the call to begin with. And by the way, if you're at all familiar with Jewish history, the idea that a country's national leader would want to actually greet the Jewish community before the High Holy Days, that's a huge sign that things are pretty good and you really ought not to offend the supreme leader of the country by not being on the call. I mean, that's just simple Jewish history for you. And yeah, when I say supreme leader, I'm intentionally hinting to times when the supreme leader was akin to the supreme leader of North Korea. It didn't matter who it was. You didn't offend the guy. It's a testament to our healthy democracy and our environment that these people feel entitled to refuse to go on a call with the president of the United States. I mean, it really says something about the very liberties that they are claiming Trump doesn't respect. If they actually believed he didn't respect their liberties, they wouldn't dare not show up for the phone call. I mean, give it a break. But so that's where these people are coming from. And these are the people who, again, they didn't show up on the call, and they insist it's wrong for the president to call it your country. Israel Bonds has now raised over $38 billion American dollars from American donors to support Israel because they believe it's our country. I mean, come on. These are the same left-wing organizations that interfere with Israel's government, not only telling them how they ought to do religion, for example, at the Western Wall, and in matters of marriage, divorce, etc., which all fall under the current control of the chief rabbinate, which observes traditional Judaism. Not only in that area. Oh no, they actually tell Israel how to manage Israel's security affairs, to make quote-unquote peace with a Palestinian authority that still supports terrorism and those who wish to murder us, and blame Israel for not doing better at so-called making peace with these people. These are the people, you know, and these are the people who are telling the president, oh, it was wrong to call it your country. If you don't feel it's your country, then stop claiming that as a Jew, you have a right to tell Israel how its affairs ought to be. I mean, that sounds pretty reasonable and simple to me, but this is the way they go about it. Now, if you actually look at what's going on, compare this president and this administration, who they're busy. I mean, they've actually called him anti-Semitic. You know this. They've been calling him anti-Semitic since 2017. What just happened with the UAE, with Bahrain, with Kosovo, with more to come, all of this is thanks to the president and thanks to a bunch of Orthodox Jews that he put in charge of negotiating peace for Israel on behalf of the United States of America. The United States of America entrusted Orthodox Jews, Friedman, Berkowitz, Kushner, Greenblatt, with making peace. Oh, and apparently there's a guy named Einhorn who's an assistant to Berkowitz who's also in this mix. I was on the South Lawn of the White House. I was very far from the only Orthodox Jew there witnessing the signing of the recent agreements, the Abraham Accords, between the UAE, Bahrain, Israel, and the United States. In fact, there wasn't just a minion after the event on the South Lawn of the White House. There were two. There were two Avalim. There were two people mourning the passing of a relative, and they split into two groups. There were two separate minyanim to pray the afternoon service before we left. And the idea that this is supposed to be an anti-Semitic administration, when they negotiate this, it's crazy. And the other thing you learn is, yeah, Israel, for better or worse, is your country. The UAE, when they decided to make peace with Israel and grant entry to Israelis, there's something else they did. They announced that all hotels in Abu Dhabi should be serving a kosher option. I mean, the United States doesn't do that. Do you understand? There's no law that says that a hotel in Tennessee has to give me kosher food when I go there. I have to have a kosher food option. You know, if you luck out, they'll tell you what brand of cereal it is, so you can have the continental breakfast or not. You almost always cannot have the bagels, much less the omelet, much less anything else. But, you know, Abu Dhabi? No, you're going to have a kosher food option. Okay, what does that have to do specifically with peace with Israel? The kosher certifying agency that they're working with for this, the UAE is working with the Orthodox Union, which is based in New York. Now, it happens to be, yes, the mashgiach, the certifying rabbi who's going to be in charge of all this, is in fact an Israeli. But it didn't have to be that way. If they wanted to welcome more Jews and more Jewish business without opening formal relations with Israel, they absolutely could have gone ahead and done this a year ago. They could have done this now. They could have done this tomorrow. Oh no, they did it in conjunction with a peace agreement with Israel. The UAE recognizes a connection between Israel and Jews. You know who else gets this? Kosovo. Now, by the way, this is another amazing situation. Serbia and Kosovo, neighboring and warring Balkan states, decide to normalize economic relations, a huge step forward for peace, which, by the way, most news sources on the internet attempted to ignore. They gave far more time to discussing Woodward's new book, which claims that Trump denigrated soldiers, which everybody else denies that he did. They gave far more attention to this ridiculous story that nobody's going to talk about for another week than they gave to a story that is literally going to change the Balkans for decades to come. And not only that, but they threw the administration, this supposedly anti-Semitic administration, threw the Jews into the mix, as in both of the Balkan states, as part of their peace agreement, they got to do right by the Jews. They both, one is Serbia supposedly is going to move its embassy to Jerusalem, and Kosovo, which is a majority Muslim nation, is going to normalize relations with Israel and install an embassy again in Jerusalem. I mean, this is groundbreaking. An administration has never done this in history. That's number one. But number two, it's obviously a connection not just to Israel, but to Jews. You have a majority Muslim nation making peace with Israel and also adopting the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism. Kosovo is doing that as well. And once again, this followed on the heels of a peace agreement where it didn't necessarily have to be part of the deal. Why is Kosovo now implementing the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism? Why are Abu Dhabi hotels now insisting that every hotel has to provide a kosher option? I apologize if I said that wrong. It's the government saying that all Abu Dhabi hotels have to provide a kosher option. Where does this come from? The answer is that, yeah, Israel is the Jewish country. It is known as the Jewish state. All President Trump was doing there was recognizing something that in every other context we regard as obvious. That doesn't mean we agree with Israel's every policy. I mean, I certainly don't think that, you know, I point out that as far as Herzl's dream is concerned, I am not a Zionist. But that's not what this is about. It is de facto, I mean, it's the only Jewish majority country. It is a Jewish state. It is far from what we would strive for as a biblical ideal, but certainly exemplary in the family of nations. And yeah, it's regarded as the Jewish country. And the people who are complaining about it, number one, are largely a bunch of Israel rejectionists. That's number one. The people who wish to deny the... I'm talking about Jews. Jews who deny that there's supposed to be a specific Jewish connection to our ancestral homeland. And the idea that Jews actually deserve a country of refuge to which to flee. Because another aspect of this, of course, is that Israel is the only country that will take in persecuted Jews from anywhere in the world. The United States will not do that. No other country will do that. Israel does. Israel is also, of course, distinguished as the only country in world history to bring in tens of thousands of black Africans at its own expense to be free people. No other country in the world has done that either. So people should be thinking about that before they call Israel a racist country, don't you think? But you see, it's all motivated by bias and bigotry. The anti-Israel folks know that Israel means the Jews also. In fact, they're very careful not to say that precisely because it is so true. They just wish to claim they oppose the country because they don't want to declare openly that they oppose the people, even though the lies that they say are all the classic lies about Jews. Yeah, I've been asked a number of times, why don't you do a podcast on Palestine and Israel, and maybe that's going to be an up-and-comer also, a rant that will turn into an article, hopefully. So I really appreciate you for listening to this and hearing me out, and hopefully this, A, will turn into an article. B, if you've not been listening to these before, hopefully you will subscribe. You will share it with your friends. You will give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts if that's how you're listening to us. Appreciate you. Please be in touch. And I do look forward to perhaps doing this more consistently. Thank you.